Thank you for that. I got tried to get Luke on the way up here for he and I to get us a duet going, and he was not interested whatsoever. This morning, we're going to talk about waiting on the Lord, being patient, waiting on the Lord. And I know there's somebody in your life that's patient, somebody in your life that is one of their gifts is to be patient. Well, I'm going to admit to you this morning, that's not me. In our marriage and in my life, that's not me. You know, when Karen proposed to me, you're laughing, but it's true. When she proposed to me, I was ready to get married. I didn't understand why you had to wait 9 months or whatever that ordeal is, or 3 months, or if we're going to do it, let's just go do it. And so I am not the patient one in our family, and I know that some of you are. And I applaud you that are patient and that can sit back and wait. But it is one of the things that troubles me is waiting on the Lord and waiting on anything, waiting on a ride, waiting at McDonald's, waiting on anything that I feel like, you know what, I should have already had this done. I'm wasting my time. Let's go. And so that is not a strength of mine, but we're going to talk about it this morning, and maybe just so I'm preaching to myself. That could be it. In Psalms chapter 106, up on the screen, I have verse 13. I'm going to cheat a little bit and start in verse 10. Because I want you to know what's happening in this psalm. It says, "So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries, but not one of them was left. And then they believed his words and they sang his praise." And then we get to verse 13. And the Bible says, but then they soon forgot. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait on his counsel. But they had a craving in the wilderness, and they put God to the test in the desert. And then verse 15, and he gave them what they asked for. But sent a disease among them. And I think about the Joshua, after Joshua had defeated the walls of Jericho, and he goes back to his tribes, and he sends some spies out to test this little tribe, Ai. And he comes back and he says, "Oh, there's not that many. Let's send a few troops over and we'll take care of them." And he sends them over there, and they come back with defeated. And Joshua would ask God, he said, "God, why did you let that happen?" And God looked down at Joshua and said, "You never asked me. You never asked me." And so Joshua was so excited because God had given him Jericho. But why did he give him Jericho? Because he sought his counsel. And now he has this little tribe of Ai. Why didn't he win? Because he didn't seek his counsel. He forgot. And God let him have what he wanted. You know, at the age of 75, if you remember in your Bible, God promised a man that he would have a child. And that child came, but it didn't come until he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old. But God had a promise. And listen, church, God cannot lie. A young boy had a dream when he was 17, but that dream only came true when he was 30 years old. And these two men, the 100-year-old and the 30-year-old, wait, and God came through for them just as God had promised, and God never lies. You see, there are two things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. How do we know that? Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. That's what the Bible says. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, "In the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world ever began." The second thing God cannot do is God cannot deny himself. It tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." God has promised you and I so many things. There are so many things that we have coming to us, and yet it seems like that God is always late. It seems like that God is never on our time table. But really think about it for a moment. When have you ever known in your life God to be late? When have you ever known or thought know for sure that God is late? I know back when we were struggling financially, and I remember distinctly praying, God, I don't know how we're going to make it this month. And God was never late. God was never late. I never in my life remember when God has ever been late. God has waited on me all of my life. He has waited on you all of your life, and yet we find it hard to wait on Him. Psalms in the 25th chapter in the 5th verse says, guide me, O God, in your truth, and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. How long has God waited on you to do the one thing He's asked you to do? How long has God waited on you to do something He has commanded you to do? Maybe that's join the church. Maybe that's to adhere to salvation. Maybe that's to follow Him in baptism. Maybe that is simply repenting of an unconfessed sin in your life, something that's hidden in your life. Maybe that's to walk across the aisle and apologize to somebody, ask forgiveness from someone. When have you done what He's asked you to do? How long has He waited on you? 10 years? 20 years? 25? How long has He waited on you to sincerely worship Him and praise Him? How long has He waited on you to turn back to Him? How long has He waited on you to disassemble the pride that's gathered in your life? How long has He waited on you to have a substantial prayer life? 30 years? How long has He waited? You see, to wait on the Lord means to be content. It means to be patient. It means that we are clinging to Almighty God. And Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And when I did so, when I waited patiently for the Lord, He turned to me and He heard me cry. And so I'm clinging to God when I'm waiting. I'm resting in His love. I'm resting in His wisdom. And the element of waiting, however, is the most difficult aspect of all. And maybe I'm just preaching to myself, but to me, for two different reasons. One is contentment and patience are difficult because they're so contrary to my nature. My nature is let's go do it, and let's go do it now, and let's do it fast. It's contrary to my nature. It takes constant renewal for me in the Word, in fellowship with the Lord to change, for me to be content and to be patient. Constant. Contentment and patience fly directly in the face of the delusion that Satan constantly seeks to pass on to us, mainly that you and I do not need God. He passes this trait on that you and I do not need God, and that we can move on without God, and that why should we be waiting on God? We can find security and satisfaction and significance apart from God, apart from the Lord, through our own solutions, through our own wisdom. And that reminds us and keeps us in the state of being uncontent. I don't know about you, but many people in this world are hard to please. Hard to please. We're not content. To wait on the Lord means learning to be content and to be patient and to cling to this Almighty God that is in this fallen world, and that we rest in His love and we rest in His wisdom. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Do we have that, Karen? We do. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed. How is he being renewed? Day by day, right? Day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen are eternal. Our problem for waiting on the Lord is that we want things done when? Yeah, yesterday. Now. Immediately. We long for things such as love and such as acceptance and purpose and food and comfort and pleasure, and all of those things are legitimate desires. However, because of our natural needs and desires, we fall prey to the lies of Satan that we need these our needs met and desires met immediately. And we tell ourselves we cannot be happy unless we have certain details of life. Think of how the world has changed in some of your lifetime. Right now, we don't even have layaway anymore. You know why? Because people just go buy it. They're not waiting anymore. They're not going to wait. They're going to charge everything. They don't need the money. It doesn't matter. We're going to go get it. Folks, you don't even have to have a relationship with anybody to get a date anymore, right? You can just get online and get a date. You don't have to stumble through the words of "Will you go out with?" None of that anymore. Just get online. Swipe to the right, and you're going to on a date. That's the world we live in. It's an impatient world. It's so different for some of us than what we're used to or think of. And we tell ourselves, you know what, we can't be happy unless we have this certain detail, unless we have this phone or this car or this furnishing for our home. And that's why all of these stores, or many of them, have done away with layaway, because we need instant gratification. We need those things right now, and we just cannot wait. And so we have more credit cards in America than we've ever had before, and we really need to just fulfill, let's be honest, we just need to fulfill our animalistic desires. That's what we need. We need to just fulfill all these things that I want, and I need to do it today. To wait on the Lord means to wait with contentment, to wait with His provision and timing in whatever the situation is you're in that given situation, through fellowship with God, knowing God, clinging to God, trusting God. In Micah, in the 7th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." The Israelites, the Bible reminds us, were to be God's people. They were distinct. They were living under His protection. They were living under His direction. They were even living under His provision as they experienced the fellowship and the manifest of His glory. And as we opened up this morning in Psalms chapter 106, verse 13 through 15, share some insightful lessons from which you and I can learn much in the realm of what they were going through. Learning to be content, which is also vital to learning how to wait on the Lord. The first problem, it reminds us in verse 13, is they quickly forgot His works. They quickly forgot who God was and what God was and what God had been about. We so quickly lose focus so easily on the mighty works of God. Just in our own personal life, we take it for granted. What do we take for granted? How about just today? How about just getting out of the bed today and taking a deep breath of oxygen? That God has blessed us with another day on this beautiful place. We so take that for granted. We lose focus on the mighty works of God. Our health, our blessing, our finances, our kids, our marriage, our church, our country that we live in, that we can walk in this place freely and do what we're doing this morning. The mighty works of God. And when we do that, we are affirming that, you know what, we really don't understand God's love. We really don't understand God's mercy. And so we fall into the reason that they forgot His works is because they did not follow His counsel. We say, what is God's counsel? Well, that goes back to really the purpose and the plan is what that referring to. And quite naturally, when we forget God's works and we won't wait for His counsel, we're really writing failure out beside whatever we're trying to do. Whatever it is we might be undertaking. So Israel, instead of waiting and resting in the Lord, they craved and they looked back on the past lives of the glory and the lives of Egypt. And so when we crave, we intensely are saying that we've lost sight, or maybe we've even lost control of our desires, and we can't wait any longer on the goodness of God. So we seek happiness in all the wrong places. We seek happiness with all the wrong people. We test God by behavior, by our behavior, which really constitutes being defiant. And to prove His words and the goodness of justice of His ways. Now get this. Impatient is a form of unbelief. Now let that settle for a second. Impatience is a form of unbelief. So the result comes in verse 15 where the Bible says, so He gave them what they wanted. He gave them the request. Listen, God does not force His will upon you. God does not force His self upon Him. Sometimes He allows us to get exactly what we want or exactly what we think we want. That's the old word. Have you ever heard? You better watch what you pray for because you just might get it. There's some truth in that, right? Because God will let you have it. He'll let you have what you think you must have, and sometimes He allows us to live it by our own strength and by our own strategy, and He substitutes through the energy of our flesh. We have to stop telling God that we know better than He does. Most of our disappointments come not because God has failed us in His promises, but they come because we have failed Him in our principles and in our inability to wait. Because we're not patient. So my question with you this morning is very simple. Is your problem waiting on a God that's never late? Or is your problem you? Waiting on the Lord to give you the job He wants you to have. Waiting on the Lord to give you a new outfit or that new friend or that new car or that new vision or that new strategy or that new man or woman in your life. Waiting on God to do that. Being patient. You know what God says? Wait. Some of you are saying maybe you're waiting on to be renewed. You've been through a tough spell. You've been through a divorce. You've been through a loss of a loved one. You've been through something hard and you're saying, God, I'm waiting to be renewed. And I'll remind you of one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. And you can turn there, and it talks about being renewed. Those that had hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. They will be renewed. That you're waiting on that. You're praying for that. God said you just need to wait. You need to be patient. You need to be content. And you need to be content in Me. Not in the world. Not in something fleshy. But in Me, because in the world and in people, you're never going to be happy, right? Ever. It's not fulfilling. God's fulfilling. His Word is fulfilling. Parents, maybe you're waiting this morning. You're waiting on your children to come back. You're standing upon the promise that if I raise them in the way they should go, they'll come back. You're standing on that. And just keep being patient and content in the Lord. Because it is a promise that if you have raised them in the way they should go, if you've raised them in God's ways, they will come back. God says that. So you have to be content, and you have to be prayerful, and you have to be waiting in the Lord. Maybe you've lost that loved one, and you'll never understand why. And you're heartbroken. And maybe that's been years ago, or maybe it was this week. And you're just content in the Lord. I don't know why. I don't know why. But we've all had those, right? I see a familiar face this morning and I think about Coach Sarles, which was a treasured friend of mine in the coaching profession and coached forever at Atkins. I go see him up here at the hospital, and it wasn't a matter of days before the Lord took him home from there. And you say, why? I don't know, but I know that I'm leaning on the promises of God. I'm content, and I'm going to be patient in the promises of what God has given to me, and I'm going to believe those, that I'm going to see my friend again. And that you may say, yes, I'm going to see my husband again, or my wife again, or my kid again, or my friend again. And why do you say that? Because God's Word tells us that. And because we're going to be contently, patiently waiting on Him. So I would ask you this morning, how long has God been waiting on you? We've been waiting on Him for so long. But how long has He been waiting on you? Well, I'm 50 years old. I'm ashamed to admit that. But I turned 50 about a month ago. And He's been waiting on me 50 years. How long has He been waiting on you? And when are you going to turn it over to Him and say, here you are, God? Whatever that is, prayer life, finances, salvation, trusting Him, leaning on His promise. When are you going to turn that over to Him? He's waiting on you to do it today. So maybe you would say, you know what, Billy, I hadn't followed in baptism. Well, I would invite you to do it today. I hadn't joined this church. Well, I invite you to do it today. Listen, you're not coming to this church to, you're not coming to Second Baptist Church to worship the preacher. You're coming here to worship with the people of this place. So if God has you here to join, you need to join. God will take care of all that other stuff. Your finances, whatever it is. And you finally want to say, God, you know what? I know you've waited on me forever. I'm ready to turn this over to you. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Father, may it be, Lord, that you wouldn't have to wait on us anymore, Lord, that we would drop it at your altar. Father, that unconfessed sin, we would drop it this morning. Father, our finances, we would quit trying to hold on. We would drop it this morning. Father, our relationship that we're trying to make work, Father, that we would drop that off to you. Father, that job that we so desperately want or trying to get or that's miserable, whatever it is, Father, we would drop that off to you. Whatever it is in our life, Lord, you've been waiting on us for a long time, and may we drop that off to you. Father, someone here this morning that has never received Christ, may today be that day. Someone this morning, Lord, that has never followed in baptism, may today be that day. Somebody this morning, Lord, that is waiting on the renewing of their strength, may that be today. Father, someone today that needs to join Second Baptist Church, may that be today. There's somebody in this room, Lord, that has a grudge against somebody else and it's hindering your worship. May that grudge be taken away this very day. Father, someone here has lost a loved one and they're struggling. Father, that they would have the strength to be content and patient inside of your word. Father, we'll give you the honor and the glory. Father, we'll shout praises to who you are, what you stand for. Father, we're leaning upon that promise of that parent this morning, Lord, that is praying that their children will come back. And Father, we say, just be patient in the Lord. Father, convict our hearts. May we respond to your word through your word. May we do that this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you